Chapter 45. Linger for a little while in the air. The moon was shining down upon the old gateway of the town, leaving the low archway very black and dark, and with a mingled sensation of curiosity and fear, she slowly approached the gate, and stood still to look up at it, wondering to see how dark, and grim, and old, and cold, it looked. There was an empty niche from which some old statue had fallen, or been carried away hundreds of years ago, and she was thinking what strange people it must have looked down upon when it stood there, and how many hard struggles might have taken place, and how many murders might have been done, upon that silent spot, when there suddenly emerged from the black shade of the arch, a man. The instant he appeared, she recognized him who could have failed to recognize, in that instant, the ugly misshapen Quilp. The street beyond was so narrow, and the shadow of the houses on one side of the way so deep, that he seemed to have risen out of the earth. But there he was. The child withdrew into a dark corner, and saw him pass close to her. He had a stick in his hand, and, when he had got clear of the shadow of the gateway, he leant upon it, looked back directly, as it seemed, towards where she stood and beckoned. To her? Oh no, thank God, not to her, for as she stood, in an extremity of fear, hesitating whether to scream for help, or come from her hiding place and fly, before he should draw near, there issued slowly forth from the arch another figure, that of a boy who carried on his back a trunk. Faster, sirrah! ! Cried Quilp, looking up at the old gateway, and showing in the moonlight like some monstrous image, that had come down from its niche, and was casting a backward glance at its old house. Faster! ! It's a dreadful heavy load, sir, the boy pleaded. I've come on very fast, considering. You have come fast, considering. Retorted Quilp. You creep, you dog, you crawl, you measure distance like a worm. There are the chimes now, 12:30. He stopped to listen, and then turning upon the boy with a suddenness and ferocity that made him start, asked at what hour that London coach passed the corner of the road. The boy replied, at 1. Come on then, said Quilp, or I shall be too late. Faster, do you hear me? Faster. The boy made all the speed he could, and Quilp led onward, constantly turning back to threaten him, and urge him to greater haste. Nell did not dare to move until they were out of sight and hearing, and then hurried to where she had left her grandfather, feeling as if the very passing of the dwarf so near him must have filled him with alarm and terror. But he was sleeping soundly, and she softly withdrew. As she was making her way to her own bed, she determined to say nothing of this adventure, as upon whatever errand the dwarf had come and she feared it must have been in search of them, it was clear by his inquiry about the London coach that he was on his way homeward, and as he had passed through that place, it was but reasonable to suppose that they were safer from his inquiries there than they could be elsewhere. These reflections did not remove her own alarm, for she had been too much terrified to be easily composed, and felt as if she were hemmed in by a legion of Quilps, and the very air itself were filled with them. The delight of the nobility and gentry, and the patronized of royalty had, by some process of self-abridgment known only to herself, got into her traveling bed, where she was snoring peacefully, while the large bonnet, carefully disposed upon the drum, was revealing its glories by the light of a dim lamp that swung from the roof. The child's bed was already made upon the floor, and it was a great comfort to her to hear the steps removed as soon as she had entered, and to know that all easy communication between persons outside and the brass knocker was by this means effectually prevented. Certain guttural sounds too, which from time to time ascended through the floor of the caravan, and a rustling of straw in the same direction, apprised her that the driver was couched upon the ground beneath, and gave her an additional feeling of security. Notwithstanding these protections, she could get none, but broken sleep by fits and starts all night, for fear of Quilp, who throughout her uneasy dreams, was somehow connected with the waxwork, or was waxwork himself, or was Mrs. Jarley and waxwork too, or was himself, Mrs. Jarley, waxwork, and a barrel organ all in one, and yet not exactly any of them either. At length, towards break of day, that deep sleep came upon her which succeeds to weariness and overwatching, and which has no consciousness, but one of overpowering and irresistible enjoyment. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.